Welcome. It's good to see all of you here today and online. We're glad you're here with us again. So we're beginning today on the journey to the cross. The time has come. We all have critical moments. We all have crisis points in our lives. We all have those decisive instances. The crucial times when we know that fulfillment of everything that we've hoped for, everything we've dreamed of, everything that we have committed our lives to is at stake. Crisis points. Everyone experiences them. There are critical moments. Times when you know it all rides on one thing, and that crisis instant comes down to this one point, your commitment. Your commitment. To what are you committed to? What are you and I committed to? It's our commitment that directs our choices, and particularly in those crucial moments. It's our commitments that allow us to take the actions that we take. And it's all dependent on our commitment. And when we look back and we look back over our lives, we see that those things that we are committed to show up, and they have directed the outcome of our lives. You and I, we might not be able to anticipate the exact instances when those steps we take will be required, the ones that ultimately alter the outcome of the rest of our lives, but I guarantee you crisis moments will come. They will come in your life and mine. Even in the life of the church, you know, we had a crisis moment in this last year when the pandemic hit and we had to decide what our commitments were. And we looked and we said our commitment ultimately is to make followers of Jesus. And we decided what's the action that we can take to continue to do that in the situation we're in. And we decided that proclaiming the gospel is the necessary commitment. And so we did all we could to continue to bring the message of the good news, the commitments that we have. And here's the thing, even if you think your commitment is strong and certain and unshakable, I want you to know that the temptation to deviate from that commitment is strong, and the temptation to turn back and to walk away is strongest at those most decisive times, at those critical moments. In other words, temptation is fierce in your critical moment. I'm going to say that again. Temptation is fierce in your critical moment. We all face those crisis moments, and you can be assured the temptation to deviate from your commitment will be fierce in those moments. Maybe this is a critical moment for you. For some, you might feel that in these days you've lost faith, maybe lost faith in your fellow human beings, and maybe you find it hard to trust anyone or anything. And you know that it's a decision time, and the decisions that you make are going to affect your attitude and how you respond to others for the rest of your life. What will you choose? Maybe you're somebody who's walked through a difficult season, maybe a death that's left you alone, or an illness that has taken away your sense of purpose, or a financial struggle that won't turn around. You're not sure if what you've committed to is maybe worth it anymore. You feel this is a crisis moment coming on you, and you might feel confused with more questions than answers. How will you decide the way forward? Maybe it's a marriage that you're struggling in, and it isn't turning out the way you had planned and hoped for, and you feel that you're nearing a critical moment. You know it's near. What will you do when it comes? You could be a student who's challenged in the commitments that you thought you agreed with, but now you've been exposed to other options and you're not so sure anymore. It's a crucial time. What will you choose? See, in these critical moments when the fulfillment of everything we've counted on, everything we've hoped for, everything we've dreamed of, everything we've committed to our life too is at stake in these moments, what will you and I choose? How will we keep our commitments in these times when, you know, it all rides on remaining steadfast and true? How will we keep our commitments? How will you keep yours? It's in these moments that we have to learn to commit to a higher purpose. And that's our theme for the day, to commit to a higher purpose. I want you to say that with me. Commit to a higher purpose. When we commit to a higher purpose, when we remain that committed, no matter what crisis point we face, we will overcome and fulfill our highest calling, our highest purpose. That seems like a big statement, does it? Can we really agree with that? You know, as a follower of Jesus, and as a pastor, I hope that you know where I'm leading this. I'm suggesting that the highest commitment that we can make, the higher commitment, is to following God's purpose. It's to fulfilling what we are ultimately called to. And I want to encourage that, even if you're not there yet, maybe you're watching online, maybe you just don't quite find yourself in that place, it actually might be more in line with what you feel your higher purpose is already. Maybe you feel like your higher purpose is to save the planet from environmental ruin. You know, maybe it is. Or maybe your higher purpose is staving off world hunger in meaningful ways, starting right here in our community with the food shelf. You know, that's a good purpose. Or maybe it's pursuing global peace and human rights. You know, those things go hand in hand. There's so many causes that seem worthy of our total commitment. And if one of those or something like that is yours, then good. That's a good thing. I'm glad for it. You know, we all need to be light in the dark places. We need to bring hope where things are hopeless. That's good for you. These are noble causes, and these are actually rooted in God's intended purpose for the new creation. So God's purpose encompasses far much more than you and I might imagine, but it all culminates in one critical moment. It all comes together in one, what we might call, a crisis point. So we pick it up in the Gospel of John in chapter 12. Jesus is facing a critical moment in his life. His whole mission, everything that he has done, is leading up to this one crisis point. It's in this chapter that Jesus provides for us one of the clearest examples of committing to the higher purpose, no matter what the personal cost. Now, that's a new twist, right? Commitment, no matter the cost. If something like this involves me, right away I want to ask, well, what is the cost, right? Well, what is this going to cost me? If I'm committed to it, no matter the cost, what am I committing to? So let's look and see what Jesus' commitment to the higher purpose cost him. In John 12:20, it says, some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they said, sir, we want to meet Jesus. Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Now, this verse starts off with people who want to talk to Jesus. And although it seems that Jesus never really directly answers them, it's a little confusing, it sets up the crisis moment. It's unfolding from here on out. And the time has come to open the way to God for the non-Jewish people, called the Gentiles. And this movement, this bringing the world to Christ, it faces more opposition than you and I might imagine. You know, we're in the middle of the book of John in chapter 12. The gospel has foreshadowed the things that are coming. Jesus is on his final trip to Jerusalem. He knows that this will end in his death if he stays the course. So at this point, the forces against him are all crystallizing. The more the crowds follow Jesus, the more the religious rulers object and they want to get rid of him. They want him killed. The more the people see his miracles and his teachings, the more they want to make him their political ruler and use his power to establish a kingdom for the Jews. But Jesus has rejected that. And it's leaving many in his wake disappointed with him, maybe even not rejecting him. So Jesus knows the outcome. He knows the time has come. He knows this is it. He has to make a decision. This is the crisis point. There's no putting it off any longer. See, Jesus is on a journey to the cross. This is his critical moment, and we know temptation is the fiercest in those critical moments. So how does Jesus overcome that clear temptation to alter his course, to deviate from the plan, even if it's just enough to save him from the pain and the shame of crucifixion? How does he do it? If you ever find yourself in a critical moment, and you will or you do, when you find yourself in that temptation, and the temptation is fierce to deviate, when it's intense and when it's confusing and when your thoughts are taking you all over the place, they're defiant and powerful against God's purpose, how do you stay the course? How will you and I do what we know is right? How do we stay faithful and unwavering to our calling, to our commitment? Well, by committing to the higher purpose. And Jesus, he leads by example. In verse 23, it says, Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth." When you hear that in Scripture, "I tell you the truth," Jesus is saying, listen up now, you need to hear this. "Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new life." You see, a seed is just that, a seed, right? That's a seed. Until it's planted in the ground. And then it transforms, multiplying and becoming a harvest of seeds. We know that. We count on that out here in the farming world. You know, we put the seed in the ground, and what does it do? It grows, right? A little rain, a little moisture and fertilizer and sunshine, and it produces a harvest, a plentiful harvest. This image applies to Jesus' life, his divine purpose of dying to rescue people from their sins. His death becomes that sacrifice that results in the kingdom being open to anyone who believes in him. And this is both the glory of the gospel and it is the crisis of the gospel. It's both the glory and the crisis for anyone who believes. For anyone who believes. So this parable applies not just to Jesus, but to every Jesus follower as well. Our commitment to the higher purpose, like Jesus' commitment to the higher purpose, will result in a plentiful harvest of new lives. Jesus describes it further, saying this. He said, "Those who love their life in this world will lose it, and those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity." Now, this has always been a little bit of a confusing statement to me, the way it's worded, the way it's laid out there. It just doesn't quite seem to make sense to me. It's basically saying that the simultaneous great eternal outcome and the pending crisis for Jesus' followers requires that we're committed to the higher purpose. So it's a major principle. Commit to the higher purpose. Say that with me again. Commit to the higher purpose. There we go. Commit to the higher purpose. So we can't ignore this one. We can't skip over it. This is central to Jesus' teaching. This is big, and I think it's undervalued. It's not just for pastors who want to make a good impression with the church, or for pastors' wives who want to make a good impression with the pastor, but it's a voluntary giving our lives for God's higher purpose in all things. So the words that describe here life in the passage we just read, they're different words in the original language. It says, those who love their life. Love here, or life here, describes a word translated psyche. So, and describes the individual personality. The one who bases their lives on themselves, right? And their desires, their own wants. That person's life will be lost. But the other word for life, in the verse, those who care nothing for their life in this world, is Zoe. In John's language, in the gospel, it uses it for spiritual vitality, this idea of relationship with God, this eternal life, it usually goes. And that person who seeks that higher purpose, that life in God, they will keep their life for eternity. So following Jesus, it is this Zoe, this life, this higher purpose. So we think about it this way. We're followers of Jesus, whose higher purpose is to make followers of Jesus. And this is how Jesus wraps it up for those who are listening. He says, anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me. Because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. His followers experience what Jesus experiences, and that includes being honored by the Father. We understand that. We want that, right? We want to enjoy eternal life in heaven, that kind of distant picture that we seem to be aiming for. That's part of it. But we also have to be clear that the cross is not just a moment of crisis for Jesus. It is a moment of crisis for a Jesus follower. So if we catch what Jesus is sharing, he's the model for his disciples to follow. If he sacrificially gives his life for them, then they sacrificially give their lives for Jesus. So what does that really mean? Our commitment, no matter the cost. Some of you know what that means. Our commitment, no matter the cost. Even when it costs everything. And that's the ultimate struggle. The first time I realized that idea of following Jesus at any cost was long before I heard the call to be a pastor. I was volunteering at the church that we belonged to, and Cheryl and I were growing in leaps and bounds in that time in our relationship with Jesus. It was a great season, and I had a peaceful encounter with the presence of God on a drive home from a church leadership meeting. And I just recognized the call to give my life to Jesus. And in prayer, I willingly said all for Jesus. I truly was willing to give everything, the rest of my life, for whatever Jesus had called me to, whatever his purpose was. You know, in that moment, I just felt his love so overwhelming that it was all worth it. There wasn't anything I would hold back. I was committed all in that night to following Jesus. And the outcome of that was that I was really happy. Maybe you've experienced that. I hope you've experienced that in some way. You just have that peaceful contentment that this is good. This is how life is meant to be. I'm all in. Maybe you're committed to following Jesus. You're fully aware of what giving everything in your life means. You know, I still feel like that part of my life is amazing. I think about it from time to time in that moment, and I still feel in my heart and my head that I'm all in for Jesus. My treasure isn't on earth, it's in heaven, just like the scripture says. I get that. I know that, right? My head knows that. My heart knows that. I'm all in. So here's what really amazes me. This is what confuses me terribly, are those moments of fierce temptation when I want to push back against everything I'm committed to, everything that I'm all in for. Where does that come from? Maybe you feel the same way. One day you're totally committed, then the next day you're trying to think of ways to deviate from the path just enough so that you don't have to do what you know you're called to do. I think I found it harder than I thought it would be to give up my life for Jesus. I have those tendencies to deviate to the kind of commitment that Jesus has called his followers to. It's hard to set the priorities upon Jesus' purpose and upon others' needs when I think I want something or I think I deserve something or I think it should be this way. And I've found that it's natural to push back against the higher commitment. And I found yesterday that even though Cheryl is so much farther along on this in so many ways, she pushes back too. So we were having this great conversation. She's laughing. I did get permission to share this. So we are having this great conversation about Easter planning, and it was going really good. We're you know, really committed to this. We're all in, and we're talking about all these great ways, and all of a sudden she walks away. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, maybe the conversation's done, and then I hear her calling from back there, hey, Tim, and she had another idea, I thought so. So I followed her, and we went into the bedroom, and she started making the bed, and I thought, okay, so I started telling her all the things that I had on my mind, and I start making the bed with her, and as we're doing this, I'm sharing, and all of a sudden, she just starts giggling, and I'm like, what are you laughing about, Cheryl? And she just starts chuckling, she can't help it, she lays there, she falls forward on the bed just laughing. I'm like, what is wrong? What is going on? And she just says, I didn't call you in here to hear you talk. I just knew that if you came in here, you would help me make the bed. The higher purpose, right? So why is it so hard to stay all in? Why is it? Because you and I are human. That's it. We're human beings. And Jesus knows our temptation to deviate. If we go back to verse 27 in chapter 12, Jesus is still speaking to his disciples. This is reminiscent of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you ever heard about that. He's on his knees asking the Father that he might take this plan, this cup from him. You know, he's sweating drops of blood in prayer. He knows what's coming. In John's gospel, Jesus says, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour?" He knows his impending death is coming. He knows what it involves. Unjustly, and it's unjust, it's cruel. It's going to label him as a criminal. You know, we get a better understanding of it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's pushing back against all of it. His psyche, right? His personality, it's all in confusion. It's overwhelmed by the strain. Maybe you experience that. We all do. When we begin to question what it's all about, and therefore, he has to make a choice. He has to commit right then and there. This is a crisis moment. He has to commit to the way he's going to go. He says, "But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." So Jesus committed to bring glory to the Father no matter what the cost. And when Jesus was tempted to deviate, what does he do? He commits to the higher purpose. And I believe you and I need to all hear what comes next. It doesn't come in the middle of the battle of temptation. This comes after Jesus has committed to follow God's purpose. When Jesus commits, his confirmation comes. The scripture says, "Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, 'I have already brought glory to my name and I will do so again.'" So the Father is speaking. "When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, 'The voice was for your benefit, not mine.'" See, the encouragement wasn't for Jesus. Why not? Because the encouragement is for those who follow him, for you and I. The encouragement for us is for us, that confirmation of the higher purpose that we are called to is for you and me. You see, God will accomplish his purpose in you. He accomplished it in Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, he'll accomplish it in you. Some of you need to hear this today. Commit to the higher purpose. And God will do it. Recommit to the higher purpose. God will accomplish it in you. If this is a critical moment for you, if this is a crisis point, if this is a pivotal, crucial time in your life, if this is the decision that you know is going to result in everything you've hoped for, everything you've dreamed of, everything you've committed to your life to, and you know all is at stake, make sure your commitment to the higher purpose of following Jesus is real, no matter the cost. And then take decisive action. Jesus said, "The time for judging the world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from heaven, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this to indicate how he was going to die. The time for Jesus had come. He was committed to the higher purpose. And as we journey to the cross in the weeks ahead, we will discover and experience the glory and the crisis of the cross. The time has come. Commit to a higher purpose. We all face the crisis of the cross. We all have those critical moments. Maybe you're in one right now. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." As followers of Jesus, there isn't a half in or part in or a little bit in. It's all in, or it's not. When we come to this point, and we recognize Jesus' commitment to the Father's glory, you know, we have to ask, what was it in his death that was to the Father's glory? What brought glory to the Father? And the answer is, I want you to look up here if you're here online, the answer to what is the Father's glory, it's you. You are the answer. Saving you is the answer to the Father's glory. That was Jesus' purpose. That's why he came. That's what glorifies the Father. You, saving you. The time has come. We must find ourselves committed to God's purpose. Jesus writes, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The time has come to go back to the beginning, to commit and recommit to the higher purpose. Jesus said, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The ultimate purpose. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. The time has come. It's a critical moment. To whom are you committed? Let me invite us to prayer today, to recommit or to commit, to go all in for Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you have called us. Jesus, thank you that you did not deviate or turn on your journey to the cross, knowing full well what it would cost. You went committed to the higher purpose. And that higher purpose was to save us, that we might know the love of the Father, that we might be welcomed home and with open arms, that we might be part of God's higher purpose, something greater than each one of us, even greater than our lives on this earth. Lord, you give meaning to our life, because you fill us with your purpose. So, Lord, help us to commit once more to go all in. Even though we don't understand it all, even though we feel the temptation to turn, even though sometimes it is so strong, we know that it is in these moments, these crisis moments, where it makes all the difference, where you are about to turn our lives to you. So, Jesus, we pray that you will come and renew us, fill us once more with that divine commitment to follow you, to give all for you, to know the joy of being yours. And Lord, for anyone here today that may not yet know you, that has not yet called on your name, has not yet become a believer, but knows that this is the moment, this is the crisis point. Lord, for that person, may you work in their heart and call them to trust in you, even now, with a simple prayer, something like this: Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Fill my life with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for going to the cross, for dying for me, for forgiving my sin. I am yours, all in today, completely, in Jesus' name, amen. I invite us to sing.